Hey guys, thanks for tuning us in for this 24th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include singer-songwriter Gary Chapman, also the leading sports handicapper in the world for my estimation, and our good friend Brandon Lang. We'll also visit with country artist, singer-songwriter Chuck Briseño. Our first guest is singer-songwriter legend Gary Chapman. We'll be talking about a new product called Mega CBD.
Like I told him before we came on the air, I've been a fan of his music and his writing and his work for many, many years. And we're going to talk about something a little different this morning, but TV, radio personality, and all the other things. Gary Chapman on the line with us. And Gary, first off, thank you so much for being so kind to be able to reschedule this morning.
No, not a problem, man. Not one problem at all. Life throws you some interesting curves now and then, and my prayers are with you as you walk through this thing, man. It's all good. All good. Happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate that, and wanted to talk about the launch of Mega CBD. And Gary, tell our listeners maybe a little bit about how you got involved with this, and maybe some of the benefits that are seen with folks that have used it.
Yeah, it's been an interesting path. You know, like you mentioned, I spent most of my life in some form of entertainment, music or television or whatever. And the music business just went to hell in a handbasket about 10 years ago. And, you know, I thought, okay, God, now what? What do you think I should be doing now? My son, I've got a 32-year-old son. I've got four kids, 32-year-old son, daughters, 30, 28, and 7. That's a whole nother interview.
Yes, it is.
No, my wife and I adopted a little girl, and she actually fits well in this interview. She's a special needs kid, and I, about 20 minutes ago, as I let her out at school, I gave her about a full milliliter of this product, and it changes everything for her. So, yeah, my son, like I was talking about, he got the first hemp growing license in the state of Tennessee in 2014. And, you know, it's everybody has the same reaction, especially if you've spent an inordinate amount of time in Christian circles, which I have. Everybody thinks it's getting you high. Everybody thinks it's weed, and it's just not. It doesn't. Our product contains literally zero THC, the delta 9 cannabinoid, which is the piece of the what they call the full spectrum of cannabinoids in a CBD product. That's the piece that makes you want to eat every potato chip within a 5-block radius of where you are and forget your name. That's what gets you high. We don't have any of that, zero. So you know, we sell a lot to first responders, pilots, doctors, nurses, people that probably are going to be regularly drug tested and don't want to worry about it, but want the benefits of the product. And this particular one, MAGA CBD, MAGA CBD, and let me say right quick, regardless of your political leanings, I know a lot of people see those four letters and they go, what? For us, it means making America grateful always, because we take 10% of the net proceeds right off the top, go to veterans organizations and first responders, the people who actually do guarantee our freedom by putting their lives on the line on a daily basis, some of them for their entire lives. And when they need something, we want to help them. And this product is also incredibly good for PTSD. We can't specifically say a lot about what the benefits are because, you know, the FDA is going to say, no, you can't say that until all, you know, we're probably a few years away from the level of research that'll need to be done to put the particulars on what it can do. But that's happening at a really, really accelerated pace. And I will say this, I would bet just about whatever I had, quite frankly, on the reality that once they break down the spectrum and figure out what each one of these little buggers is good at, and you're able to, or maybe a combination of two or three of them, whatever it is, that you're able to mega dose that particular piece of the spectrum, and we will find significant cures for significant diseases. And I'm very, very excited about that. Our little girl started having seizures a year ago, June. No, actually last June. Well, June of 19, which is a very, very disconcerting thing for a parent. And they increased in severity and got worse. Obviously, we went to the doctor quickly. She was initially diagnosed with epilepsy, and they handed me a prescription, here, take this. And I had done a little research seeing this coming, and I said, no, actually, we're not going to do that, because if that doesn't work, you're going to just increase the dosage. And if that doesn't work, we're going to increase it again. And if that doesn't work, you're going to give me one of the five remaining anti-seizure medications that you will try. And they all have potentially really bad side effects. So we're going to give her CBD oil. And the doctor looked at me and said, well, that might work. There are some studies that have that. And I said, no. She said, but you never know what you're getting. I said, well, actually, I do. From the moment the seed goes into the dirt until it winds up in a bottle, it never leaves my sight. So, yeah, I do know what it is. And I trust the product, and that's what we're going to do. And it had a profound effect on the seizures. We did eventually get the worst diagnosis, and we wound up, we're sneaking up on it. We're about a week away from her one-year anniversary at St. Jude's having a brain tumor removed. And our favorite word in the English language is currently benign. She's a totally clear and just an amazing kid. I'm so grateful to be in this position to even know about this stuff and to be able to help people with it. But yeah, MAGACBD.org, that's a whole lot of my life these days, but I can't stop doing music. I don't know how.
Now, Gary, for you, how much has the feedback changed from when you first started talking CBD? I mean, I know being in Christian circles as well, I know the feeling that folks had about it originally. I've seen it change a little bit. Have you seen a drastic change on your side as well?
Yeah, I really have. It has been dramatic. I worked with my son's company for 3 years to try to help them grow the brand. And it's a bunch of millennials trying to run a business. And quite frankly, none of them knew Jack, and I didn't know much more. But they've done very well. But when I started doing that, a lot of my mission was to try to educate the Christian circles, the population, on the fact that this was not a bad thing. God put this plant here for a reason. Why would you not use it? It's completely legal, completely harmless, absolutely no psychotic effects at all. And it depending on what you need done, it might just do it, because what it really does is attack inflammation, which is the core of most disease. It starts like that, and if you keep knocking that down, it really will change a lot of things. For me, it's just really joint pains. I'm 63. Yeah, you're right, 63 with a 7-year-old. You just did the math. And I've gotten on everything I could get a chance to get on in my life, because I'm just an idiot. And I fell off of most of it. And, man, it was my knees, my hips, my elbows, my shoulders, everything hurts. When I would wake up in the morning, it's like I'd spend about 10 minutes deciding I wanted to keep moving. And I started taking this stuff probably 5 years ago now on a regular basis. And tell you the truth, I get up most mornings like a 12-year-old going to Disney World. It's an amazing thing.
And Gary, in the time that we're living in, man, this has been a year like none of us have ever been a part of. For you to be able to lighten people's load, even with the mega CBD, I mean, for you, how cool is that to give just even a little bit of relief in all the heaviness?
I'll tell you what, it means a lot. And thankfully, I am part of my job with the company that I'm working with now, some just great, great people out of Florida. My job is I'm the recipient of most of those stories because I help with, you know, one of the things I do is help with the content. So we can't tell you what it does, or, you know, like I mentioned, the authorities will come spank our hands, but we don't have to because people tell each other. And anecdotally, I collect those stories and tell the story with other people's voices. And it's not hard. It's not hard to find them. They're everywhere. It's everything from aches and pains to straight up, I was sent home with stage four, and I'm here today. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
That's awesome. And Gary, I want to make sure and let our listeners know the website where they can find out more information as well.
Yeah, it's MAGACBD.org.
All right. And Gary, got to ask you one more question before I let you go. With the heaviness, like I mentioned, that we're all dealing with, has this been, being a songwriter and all that, has this year been a tough time inspirationally wise as far as putting words down on paper? Or maybe has it incited some, if you will?
Yeah, it's exactly the opposite effect. I cannot stop writing, and I'm so thrilled to have it. Honestly, maybe it's just selfish, but you know, writing has always been the cheapest, best therapy I've ever had, and Lord knows I've had plenty. And I'm just, God is dropping stuff on me that I'm actually, after a few years of not really caring, I'm starting a new project, and I'm really, really anxious to get it out. I think that's what hard times are supposed to do. If you really, really believe what you say you've been believing, I'm not afraid, brother. I'm not. I know people are. I get it. I'm compassionate toward it. I am not afraid. I know who I am, and that is a child of God. And He is totally in control of this crap. I'm not worried a bit.
There you go. Again, the website to check out, Mega CBD, go to megacbd.org. And Gary, always, it has been a true privilege to visit with you this morning. Hopefully, we can catch up as the new project gets closer, and hopefully you have a good rest of your week, my friend.
I would love to. Also, just so your listeners will know, we're giving 10% off if you use promo code Cameron. Surely they'll remember that.
We hope so. Well, Gary, great to visit with you, this man. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Appreciate it, brother.
Again, for more information, visit megacbd.org. Up next is the host of the Sports Betting Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, also owner at BrandonLang.com. We'll visit with Brandon about the upcoming NFL and college football games this weekend.
And every week, we like to talk to our good friend, Brandon Lang. Of course, you can check him out on his website, BrandonLang.com. Also, on the Football Betting Show on the Believe Podcast Network. And Brandon, first off, happy Thursday to you, my friend.
I appreciate that, brother man. How you doing?
Doing well. It's been a better week than last week was.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, time heals all wounds. And, you know, it's the inevitability of brothers and sisters and moms and dads. And yeah, I buried my mom in 2013, and it never, that's one that's never gonna leave you. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't drive in my car and just say out loud, I love you, mom. And as a mom's boy and the woman that made the biggest difference in your life, it sucks about life that, you know, we say goodbye to our loved ones, but it's, you know, we deal with it, we move on, we heal, and we find solace in something and take comfort in something else. And for me, it's sports. For you, it's your radio show. And you know what? It's a great, great bunch of games this week, and especially in the Big 12, which is your neck of the woods. So I think we're in for a good weekend.
Speaking of that, after last week's debacle, obviously there are some games out there this weekend. What are the big highlight games that you see on the college football front?
You know, again, you guys are the Big 12 in your area. I'm still shocked at Oklahoma blowing the 35-14 lead. Kansas State. I'm still, you know, this is a Kansas State team that lost at home to Arkansas State, rebounded, came back from three touchdowns down, and won the game outright. I love Iowa State in this game. The only thing that's stopping me from sending it in is that the last five times they've played TCU, they seem to struggle a little bit the game after. But Matt Campbell, 18-9-1 as an underdog since arriving at Iowa State. I'm going to take Iowa State at home plus the points. Oklahoma State, they looked terrible at home against Tulsa. They didn't cover. They turned right around and get the job done at home. They've covered four straight with a push against Kansas. I don't think Les Miles is the answer. I've always said this. Les Miles won a national championship at LSU because he came in and inherited Nick Saban's players and figured out a way not to screw it up. And so taking the Kansas job, everybody got excited. Gundy has covered seven of his last eight away from Stillwater. I think Oklahoma State goes. And remember, if Coastal Carolina can go into Kansas and beat them, what is Oklahoma State going to do? Think you get a value number. Oklahoma State on the road over Kansas.
And something that a lot of folks, obviously folks in our neck of the woods, don't forget about, the way Les left OSU, there's no love lost there. They nothing they'd love more than to pile on a little bit, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, they don't forget. And it's amazing. It's not like that in the NFL. But in college, they don't forget. And it's an amazing thing to sit back and watch. So, you know, I just, it'll be interesting to see, but you're right. You live, but you don't forget. And I think that's the situation there.
And looking ahead to NFL football for the weekend, any big major games sticking out for you?
Yeah, a couple. You know, Atlanta points against Dallas. They scored close to 30 against Seattle. They're playing Green Bay on Monday night. They gave up 40 to Dallas. Aaron Rodgers has scored 43, 44, and 27 at New Orleans. I don't care what the over-under number is. Just keep riding the Green Bay Packers over the posted total. I will be absolutely, utterly shocked if Green Bay doesn't score 42 points or more against Atlanta on Monday night. That means I just need Atlanta, who's averaging close to 30 a game, to get me a pair of touchdowns, which they will. Play Atlanta and Green Bay over the post total. Buffalo is 3-0. They're one or two plays away from being 0-3. I had the Raiders on Monday night against the Saints, +3. They won outright. I know they got beat up a little bit last week at New England. That was off the big win Monday night. I like the Las Vegas Raiders at home, plus the points over Buffalo. And last but not least, I know Tennessee's 3-0. They got a little coronavirus situation. They're talking about playing the game on Monday or Tuesday. It won't matter. Mike Tomlin has been an underdog 12 times since 2018. He's 10-1-1 against the spread. Let's get on Pittsburgh plus the points when that game's played on Monday or Tuesday.
And again, Brandon, folks can always check the website, brandonlang.com, and got some great picks for the weekend as well.
Yeah, we've gotten off to an incredible 11-3 start in football, and that's been a dream start. Another winning week in Arkansas Saturday, the Packers over the Saints on Sunday. You know, just keep stockpiling. We've had a winning weekend every weekend in the NFL so far, and let's try to remain undefeated on Saturday.
And the next episode of the football betting show.
Yep, we'll be doing that tomorrow. It's been good so far. And again, I always say this here on your radio show: we got to be PG-13. The betting show is rated R, and we can let loose a little bit. So yeah, that's going well.
That's awesome. Again, Brandon Lang, check him out, brandonlang.com, and also on the Believe Podcast Network. Brandon, I'll talk to you next Thursday. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Bye. Thanks, bud.
Again, for more information, visit brandonlang.com. Our next guest is country artist and singer and songwriter Chuck Briseño.
First off, Chuck, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to getting to know you a little better.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on. Guys like you are really helping out musicians and things like that during this time. So it's, you know, I'm just grateful to have a platform to talk and let people know what we're doing, you know.
And I know that you've set up shop in the hub of country music. When folks think of the hub of country music, Springfield, Missouri. I mean, that's where I think. And I know you've recently moved to Springfield, because of the pandemic, has that kind of held things back a little bit on integrating into the community, if you will?
Honestly, as soon as we moved here, we went on a 3-week run to Texas, and then that's when they shut a lot of places down in March. And then we came home and had about 6 weeks off, and then kind of started getting it again. And then we've been back to Texas, I think, one or two more times. And then we've been to Wisconsin and Kansas and some other places. So we've been able to travel a little bit. I mean, I think we even went to Nashville one time to do some stuff. And so it's hit or miss. But honestly, I've had more time to maybe focus on production and writing and putting a show together. And, we went to Sun Studio to record another song and with Smith Music, who does our distribution, and they shot a video of that. So that'll come out later on and maybe before the end of the year, hopefully. And then, it's like a double-edged sword, you know. We take what we can get, and then we also kind of work on ourselves a little bit. And I think it's also maybe true for other musicians that haven't had time to be at home a lot. You know, this is, even though I've been doing music for about 5 years, this is the first year doing it full time, and there's definitely a difference in the way you attack your project when you can do it full time and you put 100% effort into it. That's just, it's a completely different ball game, I think. So definitely, I don't know, double-edged sword. That's kind of the best way to explain it.
And for you, with it being downtime and folks having time at home, kind of being locked down, this is something that just popped up in my mind. Has this been allowed easier for collaborations because folks don't have so much time on their schedule? Maybe, obviously, it'd be like a Zoom collaboration, but writing and stuff like that, has it allowed you maybe a little bit more openness to get with other folks to collaborate?
I think... for some people that I've never really been one to write a whole lot with other people. I've definitely, dabbled a few times with a couple people here that I've met throughout the years, just working on stuff. I mean, I did a thing with Isaac Jacob and then another friend of mine, Hunter Hathcote. We kind of worked on some stuff. But other than that, I mean, really, I kind of re-looked some things that I had. Like, I know a lot of songwriters will record little tidbits on their phone, or they'll write on their notes on their phone about they have an idea or a hook line or something. And I went back and looked at a lot of that old stuff and tried to make it better and try to finish it, you know. And we did that with a few things. And then I think I went home for a little while and got to go down to the beach and just kind of really just take some time off. I mean, I'd been in the military for like 12 years and I'd worked a corporate job for 2 years. It was pretty hard schedule. And before that, you know, I mean, I was in high school, so I really hadn't had no stopping point, you know? So this was kind of the first year I was able to really relax a little bit. And which was really weird for me, cause I'm very, like, I tried to drive myself pretty hard and, I feel like I'm pretty ambitious, but I think that was kind of the most beneficial thing, was looking at some things again and maybe a little bit of, maybe I don't want to say reinventing yourself, but you definitely I guess, getting it to a point where it's a little more refined.
Now, what have you found in this time away? What has it maybe changed some of what is the priorities in your life, music wise and writing, production wise, and has it maybe changed priorities as you've had a chance to sit back and reflect a little bit?
One of the things I've done is I looked at other people's shows, because I mean I'm big about our live show. That's one of the things I try to work on a lot. I mean, we've been pretty blessed. We've played over 100 shows this year, and I think that's a pretty high number considering, you know, the circumstances. And we've, you know, we integrated a light show to our show, which is something that I've taken from different artists. I looked at Sam Riggs, I looked at the Powell Brothers, I looked at, you know, Wade Bowen, Randall King, and stuff like that, to see like how their show looks and what do they do. And, you know, we kind of invested in a package there and worked that show out, because we want to bring something a little different to the people that, you know, our customers, I guess, that book us, and then also the people that listen to us. You know, we want to definitely bring a really unique and fun show. So, I mean, that was one thing that I really, really wanted to focus on. I mean, for the last couple of years, I really wanted to do it, but I never had the time to kind of sit down and design and build that, because you really have to program, and there's a lot of back effort there that a lot of people go to concerts. They may not necessarily, I mean, they see it and they know what it is, but it's like, well, how did they do that? You know, and one of the people, Sean Simler, he's a light guy for Granger Smith, and I got to meet him when I was living in Maryland, and kind of asked him a few questions. But I typically do that if I go to see a show, like Joey Prusky plays bass for Cody Johnson, and I went to one of his deals. They were up in Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, and I went and saw. No, actually, no, hurt myself. They were in Delaware, and I went and met up with Joey, and I was kind of like, hey, you know, what in-ears do you guys use? You know, and just stuff like that. And next thing you know, I'm shopping and trying to get those, you know, as best as I can. You know, some of that gear is expensive, you know, so yeah. You're just like, all right, I'm going to try to find one. And next thing you know, that's what we're using now. And so people like that that have been involved with it for, you know, a decade, they know their stuff. So, I mean, I'm just trying to, like Eli Young Band, going to see their deal and talking with their sound guy and figuring out, you know, hey, what do you guys do? Or how do you do this? Or how does this network thing? What's Shure Wireless Workbench? It's like, and, you know, like a front man, I mean, typically, I guess, they don't really, maybe they pay attention to it, or they have other people that do that. But for me, being like, I have a couple of degrees in civil engineering, I just have to know how it works. That's just the thing. Like, I'm just, it's like, I've got the knack thing in my head. You know, I've just got to know, how does that work? And how do I do that for our stuff? You know, because it's working for you guys, and I think that would be beneficial for us, you know? So, I mean, doing a lot of that and the planning and stuff like that for it has definitely been a good opportunity. Because, I mean, mostly we're playing weekends. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be doing, you know, more, but I think that'll come, you know, hopefully here in the next, you know, few months, we'll be able to hit the road like we did in March. You know, we 21 days and 18 shows. I mean, that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
And I think now that we have our show and it's packaged and it works well, then, you know, I want to bring it to everywhere I can, you know.
Now, for you, I know that in the songwriting process, you also write poetry as well. Is that kind of where the music stems from? Do you get the lyrics first and then hear a melody, or does it change based upon the song or the inspiration?
Well, I mean, this last single that you have here for us, I mean, we were right in the middle of that run in March, and I think the words and the melody kind of came at the same time, because, you know, we were driving and I was sitting passenger and I turned the radio off and I grabbed a notepad and I just started, you know, feverishly writing what was in my head, which was basically the first verse and the chorus, and it just kind of came in like five minutes, not even. I mean, it was just real quick, and then I set it down, and then 2 weeks later I came home and I was like, I had to go find that notebook and sat down, and I was like, how did this thing go? And I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to put it with and what I thought it would work with. I mean, every song, you know, you could do like the different chord structures, whether it's a G or a C or D. And I had this one that was just like, I wanted to do an E and an A and a C minor and a B. And I just had an idea of, I had written some songs like that before, but it just wasn't the right fit, you know? So I felt like this song was this, the lyrics and the hook line and the melody was the right fit. And it just, it really didn't take long to really just get that one wrapped up and, kind of, you know, fish it out to people and say, hey, what do you think? You know, they really enjoyed it. And so we cut it. I mean, and I'm glad we did. It just worked. The timing was there. I mean, I recorded Maryland with my friend Scott Von Ensign in Baltimore, and he's great. And, you know, he's been really great with me, like just making me the best that I can be. You know, a good producer will bring that out in you, and I've just felt really comfortable working with him. And I just happened to get the song wrapped up like maybe a week or two before we went to Maryland. And I'm really glad that it did. It was the first one that we did. And with him, we did four. And out of those four, two of them were done. And then we got the Sun Studio one. So we've got one out there and two more on deck. So, you know, having content is probably one of the most important. If people didn't get any content done during this, you know, this downtime, you know, I hope you did, because that's really, really what's going to help you. You know, what a great opportunity to get some content in, you know. And so I'm really glad that we got what we got. I think we didn't rush it. And I think we got some really quality stuff, and it's hard to tell. I mean, it's up to the fans. It's up to the people that share the music. It's up to, you know, radio stations and people that want to add it and spin it and help us out. Because, I mean, if we can come down and visit you guys and play a show there locally, you know, that's the end goal. You know what I mean? I don't want to just do an interview and then like not come and play in the town, you know. I definitely want to come and like show my face down there and visit with people and you know what I mean. Like, I guess I talk with Jen about this and I say this quite frequently, and it came out in one of our conversations. I said, if you put life into music, then music comes to life.
That's good stuff right there.
And I think that that's really true for a lot of people, because you don't know how people are going to take your songs and you don't know how they're going to interpret them. But that's a great part in it. That's why it's just a brilliant thing. It's part of everybody's lives. And that's what I try to do with my writing, at least. I mean, it's hard for me to sit down and say, I'm going to write a song today. I just don't do that. You know, I kind of just, stuff just comes in my head and I kind of just develop it, and it's usually real quick. And then, because a lot of times I'm doing my website, or I'm doing graphic design, or I'm doing social media, or I'm doing, designing a new merch thing, or I'm booking the show, or doing maintenance on our gear. I mean, it's so much more than songwriting for independent guys, you know?
Now, for you, what is the most difficult part of the process? Where do you get the hangups? Is it finally saying, okay, we're done, or is it the starting of the process?
For songwriting?
Yeah.
I would say that I think the difficult part is being able to set it down and just let it happen. You just have to trust the fact that you're a songwriter, and you get it in your head and you say, this is probably not something that somebody hasn't done before. There's only, you know,
eight chords, you know, or seven, eight chords or something like that, that you can really go through. And it's like, you got to own it. So I think once I was able to get over that hump of like just owning what I write and you know, just, I guess taking ownership of your song and trying to put it, trying to determine how it's going to go forward is probably the most difficult part, and setting it down for a bit, because there will be a week, it might be a week I won't, you know, pick up a guitar to write anything, but I might be coming back from a show, or I might be driving to a show, and I have something in my head, and I'll just kind of pump a note in there real quick, and maybe I'll record it on my phone, and then, you know, just set it down and let it stew a little bit. I mean, I've written stuff and let it sit for a while, and then come back, you know, a week or two or a month or 2 months later even, or maybe even years. I did that, you know, back in April, there was a song that I went back to that I wrote like in 2017, and I finished that one up, and it just kind of, you know, it was just like, if it's worth remembering, you'll remember it, you know? So a lot of the stuff that I have, I just kind of write the words down, and I don't kind of write down the chords and stuff. And I think over time, if it's something that's, you know, I guess that's the first test. That's the hard part. Just kind of trusting your instinct and trusting your ability as a songwriter. But that's just my method. I know that there's people that will sit down and write a song every day and they just, you know, pump stuff out. But I really just try to, like I said, you know, I just try to pay attention to this life, what's going on around me, and, you know, what I'm dealing with, what my friends are dealing with, and just talking to people about different things. And you get an idea in your head and let's do for a bit. Just trust your ability. I mean, some people can do it. I mean, I don't know if, like, Elvis ever really wrote a song. He might have wrote some, one or two or something, but, you know, he typically sang a lot of other people's music. So, I mean, maybe just, you know, didn't really have that part in him, but he damn sure could sing, you know? So,
He had something that worked for him, didn't he?
He did. You know, I just guess I could correlate that to songwriting. For me, it's different, you know, than other people. I mean, everybody probably is a little different. I got to talk to Travis Tritt for about 3 hours one night. I was hanging out with Scooter Braun Band, great, great friend of mine, is Scott Braun. And they were in Delaware. They opened for Travis. And we sat down and after the show, and I got to sit there and listen to Scott and Travis talk songwriting. And I interjected like once, but for the most part, I kept my mouth shut and just paid attention. Because, you know, I just thought of it like, I own a mom and pop store, and here's the owner, here's the CEO of Walmart, you know, compared for music, right? I was like, just listen to this guy. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you ever feel like there's just like 2 or 3 in the morning is just that time where it kind of just hits you? And he's like, I absolutely believe that there's a witching hour. He's like, it's like a witching hour is what he called it. But I think for some other people, it might be a little different. But he's like, I'm a traditional notepad and pen. You know, he's like, I showed up to writing sessions with different artists, and, you know, they might have like a little drum machine that they like have hooked up that has kind of what they want in there already, and you kind of try to write to that. But he's like, I just get a notepad and pen, and he's like, so, honestly, some people like look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess a notepad and pen would be all right. I mean, I don't know why people would look at you like that, but I don't know. Everybody's different. I mean, songwriting's evolved over time. I mean, you have publishing companies that hire songwriters to just pump stuff out. And I mean, I get that. I guess that kind of leads me to another topic on it is, like, somebody like Cody Johnson, who is independent, you know, and then he gets big enough to where if he cuts somebody else's song and it's a single and it goes to number one, he's supporting that songwriter's livelihood. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I mean, if you think about it in that aspect, because I know there's a lot of people that are just true, like, this is red dirt, this outlaw, this independent, like, you should write your own music and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I get that. but at the same time, I think if you can contribute back to some of these songwriters that are really out there working really hard, and I've been very lucky to meet a couple. Dan Alley is one that I met. He's phenomenal. What a fantastic singer, songwriter. And he lives there in Nashville. Golly, what a great artist that he is. And I only really met him once and listened to him a couple times, but it's like people like that I think about. It's like, man, if somebody big just cut his song, you know, how cool would that be for him? You know, just like Chris Stapleton. Yep. A lot of people cut his stuff and really kept his livelihood going to where he could go out and perform and do what he loved to do. So it all comes full circle at some point. So, I mean, I really would like to be at that point where I could do something like that for somebody, but I think it all comes in due time and how much work you get, what you put into it. You know, if you want to work your butt off, then you can do that, or you can sit home and not do anything.
There's plenty on both sides of that fence, right? Well, Chuck, again, the new single, Favor, I want to make sure and let all of our listeners know where they can find more information about the single, about your other singles, all the music, and also some of the dates as those become available as well.
Yes, sir. So, our website is chuckbrasino.com, and then we kind of just revamped the website a little bit, so you can, right there at the top, you can follow us on Spotify and if you follow us there, you'll get the notification whenever something comes out. And also, you know, Apple Music, the link is there as well. And then, I'm waiting on Smith to really get their video wrapped up. I sent him the master for the song that we did with them at a Sun Studio. And then I've got another song called Finder With Me, and I'm not sure when we're going to release that. We released a record in December, and we were playing that one when we were on the road. So I'm trying to keep playing that one for a little while because we kind of didn't really get to play it a whole lot. But we are definitely working on. I think I've got four or five songs done for the next album, and I'm looking forward maybe at the end of the year or the beginning of next year to go back and finishing that up. So. Definitely some new music coming out. I highly recommend. I mean, we got a couple videos on Vevo. We got a Vevo channel. You can follow us on there too, and you can see when our Sun Studio video comes out. I think that's going to be really, really cool.
Well, that's awesome. And Chuck, it has been great to get to visit with you this morning, get to know a little bit more about the artist. And again, check out the website, chuckbrasino.com. Also, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you pick up your music. And Chuck, hopefully we can catch up again real soon. And once they open things up, we could see each other face to face. That'd be great, brother.
Oh, I would love to come visit you guys. And if obviously if you guys know anywhere we could come and set up our little road show, we'd love to do it. I mean, it would be awesome to come down there. I mean, I got some family in Oklahoma, my brother, my sister and some aunts and uncles and my mom, and I'm pretty sure they'd come out and hang out there. I hope they would if we're in the same state, you know.
That's right. Well, Chuck, have a great week, and again, thank you for your time. Great to visit with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Again, check him out online at chuckbrasino.com. Again, thanks for tuning us in for this 24th episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dolan. If you ever have a comment, a question, something else you'd like to know, find us on Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out with the funding for the podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. Also, if you've got a special guest idea you'd like to share, send me an email, cameron@kwhw.com. We'll be back with episode 25 coming up tomorrow.